We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I am known around these parts as your mayor of PHNX. This guy, he's called the vice mayor, but he really doesn't back me up like he should. It's the Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
Do people really like Tucson?
This is fucking crazy talk. We've been sitting here listening to Tucson being the greatest city in the world by more than one person in our office. And I swear to God, I've had to check if my nose was bleeding like three times because I feel like my brain is melting right now. They were talking about it having more culture than Phoenix and better food.
Oh, that's a fact.
In what fucking universe? I don't even understand.
What's the one that we live in, Derek.
Oh my God.
On this planet.
Anyway, welcome in.
The entire universe is covered in the Avnet logo.
Yeah, this is the alternate reality where Avnet controls everything, obviously. But this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Make sure to check them out and use our code PHNX if you're a new customer. Well, we have some fun dates to look forward to, as well as we are going to be ranking the NL West and how they did on their offseason acquisitions. But first, we have some MLB fun things coming up. We're excited. We can't wait. 11 more days until our return to Salt River Field. So we'll be out there on the...
It's actually 11 more days because we have our...
Did
little,
I not just say 11 days?
Did he say 12 days?
Did I say 12 days?
One of us looks really dumb right now.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
we're going to have to listen back.
We're going to have to go back and check the tape on this.
I don't think Damon knows either.
Yeah, no one's paying attention. But yes, we are going to be back at Salt River Fields on, what is this? This is crazy. Gabriel, no, not you too. No, that is not fucking true. Pollo Supremo in fucking Tempe is incredible. Don't even get me started on this. I will get on my soapbox right now, but... Valentine's Day. Jesse and I are going to be spending together, of course. That's the best way that we want to spend it. Out at Salt River Fields, we're going to be having demonstrations of the new rules, and I can't wait to see whatever the hell this is going to be. I really hope Rob Manfred is out there with a glove showing us the defensive restrictions on the shift.
Yeah, Rob Manfred has to be doing all of the demonstrations at the same time. He has to be playing the role of the pitcher. He has to be the infielders.
That'd be great. That would totally be worth the price of admission.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he even has to somehow portray the bigger bases.
He slides into them. He steals a base. He steals second.
Okay.
And he shows how
all right.
There's less collision.
I was wondering if there'd be a situation where he could embody the bigger bases, but I guess I'm sort of at a dead end for how that would happen.
Are you suggesting that maybe he comes out in a mascot outfit, wearing a costume? That's the bigger base?
I think that'd be great. I've heard the base is big. I'm not sure if it's big enough cover an entire grown human, but I don't know.
And then he makes our friend Tori trot out there in the smaller base so that you can see that, by comparison, what the two bases look like.
Yeah.
The mascot outfits. Speaking of Tori, by the way, we want to give a shout out to our friend Tori Lobolo for joining us yesterday. And, of course, we very much enjoyed being around him again, even with the technical difficulties. But anything you took away, particularly, Jesse, from that interview? I learned from you and several other people that apparently I called him ugly on yesterday's show.
You kind of did.
I absolutely was not leaning in that direction. Actually, I thought Tori Lavallo was saying that he should be ranked higher than third. So that's why I kind of leaned into it. And instead, it sounded a little bit more like this. Can we take a look at that clip from yesterday? Tori, according to an article from gambling.com, they used an app called the Golden Ratio Face app to rank the most handsome managers in all of MLB. And you were ranked third. Your thoughts?
Look at this guy. Are you kidding me? They must have been blind. I don't know what's going
Thank
on.
That's what we said.
But I'll take anything I can get these days, you know? I think my wife is the only person that feels like they got it right. And I'm thankful for that. But those things crack me up.
Did I really do that? I thought he was saying he should have been ranked higher, which is what we felt. We said he is the most handsome manager, obviously behind Gabe Kapler, because nobody's going to beat out Gabe Kapler for first, right?
Right.
Gabe Kapler, who got the most shade thrown at him with that whole entire ordeal. But
Basically what happened is Tori Lavallo, you know, he takes off his cap and he's like, I don't know where they're coming from with me being third.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, that's what we thought too. Yeah. We don't think you should be third. Yeah.
Way too high. Way too high.
Fortunately, Tori's a good guy, and I don't think he's going to hold this against you, Derek.
I hope he didn't catch that. That's all I'm hoping for. But who knows? We will see him out at Salt River Field, so maybe he'll have a chance to comment further on that. But taking a look at some of the key dates that Major League Baseball has, of course, the season is now set. It's set in stone. No lockouts, no pandemics can interrupt it now at this point. But of course, there are some fun dates to look at, including the All-Star Game. The last game of the season will be on October 1st. We're getting back to that, where we actually end the season before October. So that's kind of nice. One big date, though, for us here in Phoenix is that the MLB Draft Combine is going to be held at Chase Field this year from June 20th to June 25th. And I've had a lot of people ask me, MLB holds a draft combine? And yes, they do. Yes, they do, believe it or not. And we are going to be covering it. So what are your thoughts on getting out there to see the young guys kind of impress and show off what they can do?
It should be a lot of fun. I think it's basically the top 300, give or take, draft prospects will be out there kind of showing off what they can do. So unfortunately, I don't believe this will be an event that fans can attend. I think it's more so, you know, MLB Network is out there. They're going to have extensive coverage of this event out at Chase Field. Hopefully we'll be out there as well. Yep. Maybe we can do a show from there. That would be a lot of fun if we're able to swing that. But I mean, it's just another event that is happening at Chase Field, which this year there's kind of a lot of them, right? The World Baseball Classic, of course, coming to Arizona here in just a little bit over a month, and then another big event happening in the middle of the summer. So I don't know how Chase Field got selected for this exactly. But I mean, from the Diamondbacks standpoint, there's certainly nothing bad that can come out of this. Only be a good thing.
What do you mean? How did Chase Field get this? Everybody knows that Phoenix is beautiful in late June, Jesse. Everybody knows that. It's just around 110 around these parts around that time of the
year. They didn't hold it in Tucson, Damon.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. They're not opting for it in Tucson. So what does that say about your precious city? Anyway, the Combine, actually, the reason why a lot of people probably haven't heard of it is actually something that has just kind of caught on over the last few years. Actually, in 2021, from 2021 to last year, they saw a 46% increase in attendance by young players, I should say. And this year, more than 300 players are expected to receive an invite. So it feels like it's just something that Major League Baseball really hasn't really done in the past, and now they're trying to focus on bringing, you know, the top young athletes, top young baseball players in the country to one place so that they can kind of take a look at them. It makes sense. NFL does this, and it's very popular, and I feel like fans look forward to seeing stuff like this. It just helps us get to know these young players before they get drafted, and helps to get people excited about your team acquiring one of them.
I think Major League Baseball is trying to get to a place where the draft is a bigger event, right? Where it just has more clout in the sports world at large, because as you're saying, like, everyone knows about the NFL Combine, right?
Right.
Everyone is paying very, at least fans of basketball and football pay very, very close attention to the NBA draft and the NFL draft. They're very, very big sports events. The MLB draft is not viewed like that, right? It's kind of this, it's just kind of this different thing where people don't really know the players very well. Unless you're really, really into baseball, you probably haven't heard of just about anyone who gets taken in the MLB draft beyond maybe the first few names. I guess this last year, a lot of people, you know, knew about Drew Jones just because he was, you know, Andrew Jones's son. But yeah, Major League Baseball is trying to make these young players, you know, get a little bit more time in the spotlight. And I think that's a really good thing for the game.
So here are the important other dates besides the combine. We have the first day of spring training coming up in 21 days, Jesse, on February 24th. The Diamondbacks play their first game the following day on the 25th. Opening season is on, or opening day for the season is on March 30th. Jackie Robinson Day is on April 15th. We don't have to worry about that being impacted by a lockout again.
Yeah, right.
All-Star Week is going to take place July 9th through the 12th. We'll have the All-Star Futures game on the 9th. July 10th will be the Home Run Derby, and July 11th will be the All-Star Game. And then September 15th is Roberto Clemente Day, and then the final, like I said, the final day of the season will be October 1st, which all teams have a game on that day, and then that wraps up the season. So, again, I think when we asked Torrey yesterday about, like, normalcy returning to his off season, this calendar feels very familiar. Like, we're finally getting back to a familiar pattern of when all of these events are going to take place, and it's just kind of nice to know after two seasons of uncertainty when this stuff is actually going to occur this year.
Yeah, it's good to have a normal, just like a normal build up to the season again. And this off season, we talked about it, you know, a couple months back. This offseason was very, very fast moving, right? A lot of the big name free agents, the few trades that did happen, a lot of that stuff happened early on in the offseason. And it sort of left us with kind of a lull here in January, now moving into February.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of news that's really broken in the last month or so.
Just 100 top 100 prospects list.
Yeah, that's right. Just every day we get a new top 100 prospects list, and that's basically it, right?
Can we talk about MLB.com's SEO really fast? Because I have a problem with something
MLB.com's SEO.
I mean, if we all have nothing to talk about, let's talk about the fact that lately when we've been looking up MLB news, just some really, really lackluster performances as far as SEO, you know, search results go for MLB. Everything in lowercase, very basic title. What's going on over there? Do you guys not care about SEO anymore? Is that not something that we do anymore? I don't
what
know.
What on earth are you talking about?
I will show you, Jesse, after the show, but they are not, like, when you look up MLB.com stuff, like MLB news, a lot of their article titles and stuff, which is populated by a human being, as we know here on this show, it's lame. It's unprofessional. It's all lowercase. It doesn't look very good. I don't know what's happening over there, but we need to have a talk with someone at MLB.com.
They just don't know what to do because there's like no baseball news. There's no baseball news.
They're not
even
trying. That's what I feel like. You know what I mean? They're like, look, if there's nothing to talk about, nobody's going to be looking this stuff up anyway. But I will say that there was something very exciting on there before we move along, and that was the fact that they did release their list of they may not be top 10 players yet, but they will be soon. And they did select Corbin Carroll as the center fielder of the future. Not right fielder, not left fielder, center fielder of the future for the D-backs. And again, it's very much the same, you know, accolades, a very same praise that he's received a lot about his speed. I know that he's blown a lot of people away with his, especially one single play on the base path last year where he reached like ludicrous speed, but definitely a lot of praise coming Carroll's way, and nothing new, just further confirms that many people in baseball agree that he is going to be a very special talent.
One of those people is Keith Law, whose top 100 prospects list came out the other day. Here we go again, another top 100 prospects list.
We got 100 of them.
And Keith is one of few evaluators who's had Corbin Carroll as his number one overall prospect in baseball. A lot of people have had Gunnar Henderson from the Baltimore Orioles in that spot. But what Keith said, and this is something that I haven't heard from a lot of prospect evaluators is he says that Corbin Carroll's power is for real. He says that he would be shocked if Corbin Carroll was a 10 to 15 home run guy, which is what a lot of people are expecting. That's what the primary reservation that I think a lot of people have looking at a player like Corbin Carroll. He's listed at 5'10". That's probably with cleats on, right? 165 pounds. He's a pretty slim guy, right? 22 years old. Obviously, he still has some growth left ahead of him, but a lot of people are thinking that, you know, Corbin Carroll's ceiling isn't quite as high because he might be like a 10-15 homer guy. Keith Law, if you listen to the Athletic Baseball Show and what he had to say on their show yesterday, it was pretty crazy. It was like, yeah, no, Corbin Carroll's power is for real. This guy's going to hit 25 homers in the big leagues. And he said it with more confidence than I ever expected Keith Law say about anyone, frankly. Right. So it was pretty crazy to hear.
Especially a guy like Corbin Carroll that has probably been one of the one areas that people haven't graded him very highly on. Right?
Yeah.
We know his speed is phenomenal. We know he has an incredible hit tool. We know that he is going to be a problem on the base path, in the box, and defensively. We just really haven't heard about him hitting a lot of dingers. And
you've seen Corbin Carroll, right? Does he look like a 25 home run hitter?
He really doesn't.
No. You know,
I think he's jacked.
I mean, for like the frame that he has, like the man is completely jacked. But it's just, I don't know. What Keith was talking about in that show was you look around the game at, you know, Jose Ramirez and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, Mookie Betts. We've seen a lot of shorter athletes, right, come out into this league and hit 25, 30 home runs with regularity.
Yeah.
I still think Corbin Carroll looks a little slimmer than a lot of those guys, but he's still so young and he still has some opportunity to grow.
I think that's it. He's 23 years old, right? So he has the opportunity, or is he even 23? Yeah,
I think he's 22.
He hasn't turned 23 yet. So I think the idea there is that there is a lot of growing still for him to do as a major league player, right? And I think that when you get these young guys in the league, they tend to be a little bit scrawnier. And once they get into proper, like, you know, physical training and nutrition and things like that, I think that we could see him not be as small of a player as he currently is, right? But I really feel like the idea there is what we've seen in baseball historically. It's really about the contact you make and how well you can hit a baseball that's going to lead to even power numbers, right? So I think Corbin Carroll is extremely good at baseball, period. And the idea there is that, you know, his minor league season, he did hit 24 home runs. So if you factor in the four he hit at a major league level, he had 28 last year. And that's not, you know, again, I think Keith Law is basing somewhat of it on that. And I think the rest of it is the fact that this guy just looked in a very short sample size, a very small sample size, like being an incredible baseball player already. Young guys don't look that good when they come up like he does, like a lot of the Diamondbacks players do. It's the reason why yesterday with Torrey, we asked him about that and about like his coaching staff's, you know, impact on that. It really feels like there's something special they're doing that when these guys, you know, hit the field at a major league level, they're ready. And I think that's a big reason why Corbin Carroll, you know, is very appealing to a lot of, you know, analysts and a lot of MLB experts that are taking a look at, you know, players and seeing what, you know, who's going to be like a special young up and comer next season.
I thought it was interesting what Torrey said yesterday. You know, I asked that question about Corbin Carroll, the expectations. Yes, I did break his phone in the process. Yeah, I owe Torrey Lovello a cell phone, apparently. It was interesting what Torrey had to say. I fully expected, you know, if I asked this question in a way that, you know, how do you respond to the expectations for Corbin Carroll? These are pro athletes, right? Yeah. They're going to block out the noise. We know that Corbin Carroll is going to block out the noise. But I still asked Torrey, like, you know, what do you do to try to help a player, regardless of the expectations that might be out there? What do you do to help a player become the best that he can be? And Torrey, you know, acknowledged, like, yes, we understand what the expectations are for Corbin Carroll. But he talked a lot about how Corbin Carroll has to earn everything that he gets in 2023, which I think is an important thing to remember, because in all these conversations about prospect lists and rookie of the year expectations and all this stuff, we forget that Corbin Carroll has only played 28 games, yeah. I believe, 30 games, something like that in the big leagues. And he has to earn whatever role he gets, right, coming into the regular season. So I don't think there's any guarantees for Corbin Carroll. I expect that he will earn, you know, the whatever role can be out there for him, most likely a starting outfielder. I don't know if he necessarily plays center field, although he certainly could. But he has a lot of things ahead of him in terms of what he has to do to try to earn those roles. And the D-backs aren't just going to hand that to him.
None of it matters, Jesse, because Chase Field has been completely engulfed by the Avnet logo at this point.
And it's true.
Most of the world, I think, is kind of covered up by it. We're probably not even going to have a season, so I don't know why we're talking about Gates and Corbin Carroll next year. But, of course, in the meantime, there's still time for you guys to go out and grab yourself your favorite beer from Four Peaks Brewing Company. If the world's going to end thanks to a giant patch on the Diamondback sleeve, then, you know, end it in style with some great beers from Four Peaks. They have their new beer, Recreational Juice Dank IPA, which I very much enjoy and is now only available in bottles, and their Staycation Super Juicy IPA. So make sure to stop by their 8th Street Pub, pick some up for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is right around the corner, so enjoy a nice Four Peaks beverage during the game, or stop by their 8th Street Pub on Sunday and watch the game there. It's a great place with great food to enjoy a game like that. Have your friends come through. And of course, make sure to tell them PHNX sent you. We always love letting them know how much our partner or our members love them. And also, speaking of that, make sure to sign up for the Underdog Fantasy app if you haven't done so already. Underdog Fantasy is all about making your sports watching experience more fun. Do daily fantasy sports differently with the Underdog app. Grab five of your friends, draft some teams for one day kind of deal, and then whoever scores the most fantasy points wins some cold hard cash. You can draft up to 6 NBA players with no positional limits, and that's it. Whoever wins, scores the most points, wins. So, of course, like I said, there's no place that makes fantasy better than the Underdog Fantasy app. Be an overdog and ride with us on pitch counts this year, because that's what we're doing. Right to easy money with the pitch counts on MLB. It's this easy to get started. Go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app. Sign up with our promo code of PHNX, and Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. Jesse, how's your off season been so far?
How has my off season been?
Do you have an off season? You don't have an off season. We don't have an off season around here.
We don't really have. No. I mean, we still do this show five days a week.
Every day.
You know, in the middle of whether there's baseball news to talk about or not.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when people we know in the industry actually look at us and say, "How?" And we say, we don't know. But we know that our offseason wasn't as good as some teams in the NL West. And we wanted to take a look at ranking the NL West teams and how they did on their offseason moves. Of course, we are very much in favor and fans of what the Arizona Diamondbacks did. But let's start out with who we think had the worst offseason in the National League West. And actually, I don't think this was up for debate, but it was kind of weird for us to be throwing the Dodgers name around in this category a little bit. But of course, this dubious honor goes to the Colorado Rockies.
Why are you hating on Jose Urania bringing him back? They signed Pierce Johnson, Derek.
Who?
I don't know what Connor Siebold.
Pierce
they got
Johnson,
in a trade.
You're messing with me. That's a guy that played James Bond at one point, right? That's not a baseball player.
I believe that's a baseball player.
Jeff Criswell.
These are real players, Derek. I promise you.
I don't believe you. Nolan Jones. Okay.
Nolan Jones is actually a pretty decent prospect. He might be
the best one.
He might be the most interesting player that the Colorado Rockies acquired this offseason. They got him in a trade with the Guardians. Former highly touted prospect. I don't know if he's quite at that level yet or anymore, but he did play some games with the Guardians last year in the big leagues. He's only 24 years old. So Nolan Jones is kind of interesting, but he's not like the other Nolan that was in the Rockies organization not that long ago.
Imagine following it up with the same name, right? Like, that's just a rough act to follow. They also lose fan favorite Connor Joe this offseason.
They did lose
as
Connor
well
Joe.
As a bunch of other names. Garrett Hampson, Chad Cole, Carlos Estevez, Jose Iglesias. They definitely lost more than they added. But they have Chris Bryant, right? So that's enough for them to be a winner.
It's just bizarre. I don't know if anyone fully understands what the Colorado Rockies are doing at this point. Last year, I think the Rockies ownership, their front office, was coming out saying they were trying to compete. I think this last year was kind of a reality check for them, where they realized, like, oh, you know, even if Chris Bryant was a 7-WAR player, they're not a playoff team, right? Or anywhere close to that at this point. And I think they're very solidly supplanted in last place in the NL West. I don't think there's really any getting around that for them at this point. So at this point, the Rockies are kind of coming out and acknowledging, like, yes, we understand that what we've been doing hasn't worked so well. Their farm system has taken a step forward. So I guess that's kind of what you're hanging your hat on if you're a Rockies fan. But yeah, in terms of the major league roster, not great. Yeah, not a great offseason.
I don't know what they're doing. And I know that Colorado Rockies fans are furious about that, right? It's something that we talked about with the Arizona Diamondbacks in the past and where they were at in the past, where there was times where they didn't have many good players on this team. Their farm system didn't look very good, and everything kind of looked like a disaster. This was when, Yasmani Tomas was still part of the franchise and before Mike Hazen took over. But I often would say Mike Hazen was given, like, it was like a house party, and he was given a broken vase to put back together before the parents got home. And he did his best. You might see a couple of cracks or whatever, but he tried his best, and it resembled a vase, and it held water again, Jesse. Yes, sure, it wasn't the same vase it was before it got broken, but no, things are, right? And Mike Hazen did his best to put this organization back together.
Honestly, Mike Hazen inherited kind of a lot of talent, I think. I mean, there's a reason the D-backs were able to get back into the postseason so quickly. And I think it's because there was a lot of talent that was already here. Like, look at the offseason moves that Mike Hazen made in his first offseason, right? As GM of the Diamondbacks. That was the year, I believe that's when the Diamondbacks acquired Ketel Marte, when they made that trade with the Mariners. They got Taijuan Walker. But it wasn't Ketel Marte and Taijuan Walker that put the D-backs in the playoff picture in 2017, right? It was AJ Pollock. It was Paul Goldschmidt. It was Robbie Ray. It was Zach Greinke, who was already here. I don't know. I think Mike Hazen actually had it okay as far as GM situations go.
I don't think you remember how bad the offseason or the farm system was ranked at that point.
That's
fair. How many bad contracts they had, including a Zach Greinke contract that not many people were fond of at that time.
True, you know, but he turned out to be pretty darn good the next year. So
fine.
I mean, look back at his 2017 numbers. I think it's a little better than fine, Derek.
He's fine. But again, a big part of that, Shelby Miller, who's now a Los Angeles Dodger. And I don't know if we agree on this one as much, but would you say the Los Angeles Dodgers are the next team in the National League West?
Are we really previewing the Dodgers offseason by just mentioning Shelby Miller's name and then nobody else?
It.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. That's what feels like all they did. That's what it feels like all they did.
They didn't do much. I mean, they definitely didn't do much. When I was making our little list of players who came in to each of these teams and players who left each of these teams over the offseason, the list of players that the Dodgers lost is very, very long, right? They lost Tyler Anderson. They lost Trey Turner, Andrew Heaney, Craig Kimbrell, Chris Martin, Joey Gallo, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, obviously Trevor Bauer, although that's a whole other story. There's a lot that the Dodgers lost, and they didn't replace it with much, right? As you mentioned, Shelby Miller, interesting piece for their bullpen. They did re-sign Clayton Kershaw for another year. They brought in JD Martinez. They brought in Noah Syndergaard. They made a trade for Miguel Rojas with the Miami Marlins. None of those moves are going to replace a Trey Turner, right? Or even a Justin Turner necessarily. Although I guess JD Martinez, maybe you still look at him as that guy. The Dodgers got worse. I don't think there's any way around that. But when you win well over 100 games, you can kind of afford to do that. So
And I think that honestly, the one thing that they know now is that winning 110 games is kind of meaningless if you don't have a good playoff run and you can't put things together. They did add Miguel Rojas, and that was one move that was pretty damn good, to be honest. I think that's going to end up making them a better team. But it was kind of weird how, like, that move maneuver, I believe, put them over first competitive balance tax threshold.
It looked like they were trying to avoid being in the luxury tax, which would kind of reset the clock, and their tax bill next year would become lower as a result. By acquiring Miguel Rojas, they're now back over that. I don't see them trading off players to get back under it before the season starts. Although it is important to note that, you know, your tax bill is calculated at the end of the season. So where the Dodgers stand right now,
good point,
technically doesn't matter. If they were to sell off some players at the trade deadline, they could still get under that. But are we really going to sit here and say the Dodgers are going to be sellers in a few months? I don't know if I buy that.
No, I don't either. I will say that they didn't really, outside of JD Martinez and Noah Syndergaard, they didn't really add too many household names. JP Fireisen, is that how you say it?
Fireisen. I believe it is. I might be. I literally looked that up before the show, and now it's eluding me. I want to say that's accurate.
But he could end up being a special piece for them. He hasn't really been too proven, and he's injured until
like the All-Star break, probably. Have you seen his ERA?
Yes.
Yeah. What was his ERA?
Zero.
It was zero.
It was zero. He has an ERA of zero.
And it's not like it's two or three innings.
It was like 10 games or something like that, right?
He 24.1 innings altogether.
Yeah.
He had an ERA of 0.00.
Fucking wild.
Which is wild. But yeah, he's had some fairly significant shoulder issues that will keep him out until the All-Star break. And there's certainly some questions about his health beyond that.
And you brought these guys up, but when you look at the guys that Dodgers lost, it is just, it's almost a team itself, a pretty darn good team. Right? Cody Bellinger, Justin Turner, Jimmy Nelson, Hanser Alberto, Joey Gallo, Tyler Anderson, Trey Turner, Craig Kimbrell, Chris Martin. Like, the list goes on. They lost a lot of guys, and I know that they strongly believe in their farm system.
Yeah.
So I think that this was one of those maneuvers also to not block their young players from coming up.
What it's all about for me is they want Miguel Vargas to have, you know, a full season where he can grow and develop. And he's a really good prospect for them. They want Dustin May, you know, to not be blocked out of a spot in the rotation if he's healthy. So there is a case to be made, you know, like the Dodgers for a number of years have kind of been blocking their prospects, like making it a little hard for their prospects to get a lot of playing time.
Well, because they have, you know, like it's almost like it's set. They have an idea. And then they go out and acquire Trey Turner. They go out and they acquire, you know, some amazing star pitcher. And they have had a farm system that has been highly ranked, if not ranked at the top.
Yeah.
Over the
Keith
last
Law has it as
years.
His best farm system in baseball still, which is insane.
Right. But again, it remains to be seen if they were smart about not going out and picking up any more talent, or if this gives the Diamondbacks a rare opportunity to make a run at the division. It's still a difficult division. There's still very good teams in here. And honestly, the next team could be the D-backs. You know, it could be the Giants. I think it's the Giants. I feel like it's the Giants because I still feel like the Giants, even though that they did add much more than either of the teams we've talked about before, I don't know what they're doing anymore. I really don't. I mean, that's one thing that when we get to the D-backs, I'm very confident about, but it feels like the D-backs have a direction. I feel like the D-backs are going somewhere where we can see it. The roadmap is kind of laid out.
Yeah.
And we understand what they're doing. It's weird when you get to be one of these franchises that aren't very good, and then you kind of make a run at trying to be better with some, you know, few free agent pickups and bringing in guys. But realistically, your timeline based on your younger players and the guys you picked up is kind of all over the place. And, you know, who knows how this is going to impact the Giants. I still think Sean Manaea is an incredible pitcher, and they picked up Sean Manaea. Ross Stripling, another very, very good pitcher. So I think that the Giants went out and they got better at pitching, in my opinion.
It's an interesting situation because it's hard to look at all these guys that the Giants brought in and think that they had a terrible offseason. I mean, Michael Conforto is really interesting still.
Mitch Haniger?
Yeah, Mitch Haniger, obviously he's had the injury issues, but when healthy, he's one of the better corner outfielders in the game, I think. It's hard to look at all those names and the fact that the Giants didn't really lose much this offseason and look at their offseason as a failure. And yet somehow I kind of do. somehow I kind of still view the Giants offseason as a failure.
In a way, like I want to give them credit for the effort on what they attempted to do.
They tried.
But they didn't land the big names that they wanted to land. And had they landed a Carlos Correa, there is no doubt in my mind that this team would be much higher in the National League West, if not at the top, to be honest. Like adding Carlos Correa and maybe one other starting pitcher to this list, and the only things they lost really are Brandon Belt. That's the only player of substance they lost. Shelby Miller.
They lost Carlos Rodon, actually.
Oh, yeah. He's not on your list.
He's not on my list.
You sold me out. Carlos Rodon, huge loss.
Carlos Rodon is a significant loss.
It's a very significant loss, right? But still, I feel like, you know, they did get two solid starting pitchers. They got some solid outfielders. Like, they it looks on paper, like Jesse said, like they improved. And they did. I think they did get better. They just didn't get as – they didn't – you know, make that jump that they were attempting to make.
Yeah, it was kind of a two steps forward, one and a half steps back kind of a deal. It's not the kind of thing that I think really pushes them much closer into the playoff picture than they already were.
Now, I don't know where we're going to go here, but we have two teams left. We have the San Diego Padres and we have the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am going to say I personally think the Arizona Diamondbacks had the best offseason in the National League West. And I'm going to make that claim based on the fact of what I said earlier. I think the Diamondbacks have really made a decisive choice on the direction they're going and who their core is. I think they pulled off a trade that unfortunately sent one of their most productive players out of here, and that's probably their biggest loss this offseason.
Yeah,
is Dalton Varsho.
No doubt.
But they pulled off a trade that just doesn't happen in baseball. You don't, and when it does, the Diamondbacks are usually on the other fucking end of it, where we're giving up one of our top prospects for somebody else instead of the other way around. So it feels good on this, and in this instance, for them to be the one that got Gabriel Moreno, who we loved, and we have talked about him a lot this offseason, long before the Diamondbacks acquired him, because the trade with the Toronto Blue Jays made the most sense for both teams, and that's the trade that ends up happening, right?
Yeah.
You get back a quality player in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. that honestly has a great bat and could very much help this team win ball games. You talk about trading Cooper Hummel for Kyle Lewis, signing Miguel Castro, signing Scott McGuff. There's a lot of underrated bullpen moves, I think, that were made because these guys aren't really proven. We don't know a lot about them, and because they're not, again, household names or the big relievers on the market that a lot of analysts were saying were the top available relievers, it doesn't really look like they fixed their bullpen as much as they did. But, I mean, I feel like the additions are quality, and I also think that the Diamondbacks, much like the Dodgers, are going to turn to their young, you know, up-and-coming pitchers to fill that role in the bullpen. And I don't know if it was worth that for them to give a contract to a guy to potentially block those guys from having that opportunity in the bullpen. There's way too many starting pitchers on this starting rotation now. So it's only inevitable that guys get moved to the pen, and it's good chance it could be the young guys like Dre Jameson and Ryan Nelson, depending on how everybody performs. I do like what Torrey said yesterday, which is he really doesn't know at all how this pitching situation is going to turn out, because it literally is a competition for them right now. And I feel like they're creating a great environment to kind of define who the best in their rotation is going to be.
Clutch Canuck says, at least the Giants got Aaron Judge.
They did get Aaron Judge.
That's fair. I feel like we almost, in our like list for the Giants, we almost could have said that the Giants lost Aaron Judge and Carlos Correa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it honestly felt like that.
No, you're right. Yeah, going back, that's again, that's the other one too, right? I forgot all about Aaron Judge, but
they gained Aaron Judge, but they lost Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
So I think they got the short end of that deal.
But I mean, mostly they tried. They did try. And I guess, I don't know, is it worse to try and fail, or is it worse to be like the Dodgers? And the Dodgers might have attempted to make moves, but we don't know about those moves.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were reported as being interested in Aaron Judge
and
basically everyone. Yeah, they're always going to check.
They were in on Carlos Correa, right?
It didn't sound like they ever got too far down that road,
right?
Though.
And that's the thing is that even if they did, we don't know about it. So it doesn't look as bad for them as it does for the Giants swinging and missing on all of those,
but, right? As far as the D-backs and the Padres, it's close. It's pretty close for me. The thing is, the Padres got Xander Bogaerts, and regardless of how you feel about, you know, handing a guy as old as Bogaerts is, which he's not that old, but giving anyone an 11-year contract.
It's ageism from this guy.
An 11-year contract is sort of a scary thing, no, right? Bogaerts won't be a free agent until he's 41 years old, which is interesting. That is a bold move on the part of the San Diego Padres. They did it intentionally, right, to try to spread out the money, lower the hit against their the luxury tax threshold every year. But yeah, I think the difference between the D-backs and the Padres that I see is the Padres gained Bogaerts. They didn't really lose that much. If you look at the guys the Padres lost, I guess they did lose some pieces they acquired at the deadline, you know, in Josh Bell and Brandon Drury. Don't think we were necessarily expecting them to get those guys back. Other than that, Sean Manaea, still an interesting pitcher, but not the guy that he seemed to be with them a year or two ago. Mike Clevinger, they also lost, who, of course, is going through this interesting situation with the White Sox that we talked about the other day. Don't think they're losing a whole lot there. So they just didn't lose that much. And they got one of the best players in baseball in Xander Bogaerts. And that's why if you look at projection systems, pretty much all of them have the San Diego Padres as the best team in baseball right now. Everything that we've seen pretty much suggests that they didn't need to make a whole bunch of moves like they've had to make in the past. Whereas the D-backs are trying to move the ball forward, right? They're trying to get better. I'm not sure if the guys that they brought in compared with losing, you know, Dalton Varsho in particular, I'm not quite sure if they move the ball forward quite as much as the Padres did.
I think the loss of Dalton Varsho, like, and I didn't mean to even word that yesterday because obviously you don't replace Varsho. I wanted to ask Torrey about replacing Varsho's production and where they're going to get that production from, obviously. But I will say that Varsho is an incredible talent, and it hurts to lose him. I will say Varsho, one thing we talked about with him was he was going to start to get expensive through arbitration with his performance and everything like that. And I think that the Diamondbacks just were able to maneuver a guy that's very good for another guy who's also very good that's just a little bit younger. And I think the fact that we saw the one thing we've been wanting to over the two seasons that we've been covering this together has been the fact that now you know who the core is. And now it's to see if those guys can perform and if they can come together as a team and win, right? I want to see Gabriel Moreno get lots of playing time. I want to see Alec and Corbin and Jake McCarthy out there. I want to see, honestly, Dre Jameson, Ryan Nelson, and Brandon Pfaadt all in the starting rotation.
Wouldn't that be wild if during the season, if all three of those guys was in the rotation? I don't know how that happens. I mean, it probably has to be an injury or two. It probably wouldn't be a great situation necessarily, but it would be kind of fun to watch.
Here's the thing, though, Jesse, is that at least if we get that, right? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to cause that because, like, again, Torrey's comments yesterday, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination Madison Bumgarner is competing for a job in the starting rotation, right?
That's fair.
If the idea here is that they really are going to find, you know, the best players in their system to be part of the starting rotation, it's an exciting idea that it's open to everybody, right?
Right.
I feel like Zach Davies is, you know, was maybe promised.
He's going to be in the starting rotation.
Right, because, like, why would he resign with this team if there was the possibility that he could become a bullpen arm when that's not.
You're always going to say going into spring training, you know, nothing is guaranteed. You have to earn everything, right? You're always going to go into spring training with that mindset as a player, as an organization. But yeah, I mean, Zach Davies is going to be in the rotation. Zach Gallen's going to be in the rotation. Merrill Kelly is going to be in the rotation. And yeah, Madison Bumgarner is probably going to be in the rotation unless he really, really struggles in spring training. In which case, I could see the D-backs making a hard choice there. But I mean, let me be clear about the Varsho trade. I like the Dalton Varsho trade for the D-backs. I think it was the right move in the grand scheme of things. You lost a great player, but you're getting Gabriel Moreno, the type of player who doesn't really get traded in this game, right? Being as highly touted of a prospect as he was in Toronto, he's an asset that we identified early in the offseason as a great get for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They went out and they made it happen. I think it's a good trade. It's just that I'm not sure. We entered the offseason thinking the D-backs were about an 82-83 win team. At least that's what some of the projection systems were suggesting. are they an 88 win team now because of their offseason? I don't know if I believe that, because you kind of took with that Varsho trade, even though I like it in the long term, you lost one of your best players, if not your best player from a year ago, at least your best position player. And it's really hard to lose a guy like that if you're a below 500 team and come back the next year and suddenly be in the playoff picture, you know, which was kind of always an ambitious goal for this team going into the offseason. I don't think we necessarily expected that. But if you're comparing the D-backs and the Dodgers, or the D-backs and the Padres, I think you have to consider, like, how much did they actually improve? How much is that win total pushing upward from where we expected it to go? I'm not sure how much that number's moved this offseason.
Well, I will say this. Now, we do have plenty of more talk about this before we get to the season, but I think that realistically it depends on how that role gets filled. Varsho not being there anymore, if we miss him defensively, that's another big part about his performance, right? That doesn't get brought up nearly enough, is how good he was defensively. But
a lot of it depends on how Alec Thomas and Jake McCarthy perform next year. If those two guys come in and look great, I don't think you miss Dalton Varsho that much.
Yeah.
But if one or both of them seems to be taking a step back, then you're like, oh man, we don't have any guarantees in the outfield all of a sudden. We've got Corbin Carroll, right, who's played 30 games in the big leagues, and we've got two outfielders that we weren't necessarily so sure about, right? So there's just a huge range of outcomes there in the outfield.
And honestly, there's still some guys in the minors that are still very good outfielders, not to mention a guy named Drew Jones coming down that if you really, you know, want to take your time and wait and not make any big moves, you know that you are going to have your future outfield, you know, here before we know it. Same thing with shortstop. Like, the Diamondbacks could have made a move for Xander Bogaerts, but if it was going to be that long term of a move, what's the point when you have Jordan Lawler, you know, here in maybe a season, you know, maybe
everyone was just so confused when that rumor first came out. Yeah. Like, don't the D-backs have like the best shortstop prospect in baseball?
We already got a guy. We're good. Well, we thank you guys for being here on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Of course, if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever we or any of the other shows on the network go live. Smash that like button. It makes Jesse's day. Of course, if you are listening to us on your favorite audio podcasting app, make sure to subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. We always appreciate you doing so. And get yourself a PHNX Diehards membership. It not only gets you a free piece of merch from the phnxlocker.com every single year you're a member, you also get 20% off all your future purchases, as well as all sorts of other benefits. PHNX Diehard merch only, that beautiful jacket that's for diehards only, as well as get yourself some of our partners and events. We got exclusive events for members coming up, as well as discounts on those events. Our members only Discord, which is the best place to be an Arizona sports fan. And of course, the diehard only newsletter and content that you can get from our writers like Jesse, Gerald, Howard, and Craig Morgan. I love Craig Morgan, by the way. He's one of my favorite people around here today. We and him had a great chat, and he was very, very excited about the Torrey interview. He thought Torrey was great yesterday, and I couldn't disagree one bit with him. But the most important thing here is you guys got to send Jesse ideas. Jesse's traveling all around the goddamn city to pick up furniture. He wanted me to pick up furniture for him, and that's absurd. Like, I don't even do that for myself, let alone am I going to do it for Jesse. But he did ride the full 101 circuit loop, so
yeah,
I'm proud of you
yeah,
for that.
I really...
What was your time on that? Did you get it done under an hour?
Not with the traffic that was happening yesterday, no. But I'm just saying, Derek, this accent chair was much closer to your house than it was to mine.
I don't care. I'm not driving it all the way to your new place. I know how far that is. But of course, if you need furniture, don't do what Jesse's doing. Go out and get your furniture at morefurniture.com. It is the best place to get your furniture. You can get white glove delivery service, so you don't have to worry about taking that armoire up a stairs or anything else like that. You save big on the best furniture in the valley when you head to morefurniture.com. And speaking of more, we have more winners. We have more stuff to give away. The stuff isn't in here right now, but we have four prize packages. And I wanted to first thank the birthday girl. It is the end of her birthday week. Sorry, it's a wrap now, Chris, but happy birthday. Happy birthday week to you. And we thank you very much for sharing so many of your wonderful season ticket holder goodies with us so that we can in turn share them with everyone out there. We've drawn some winners, and we have some winners to announce on this very show. Actually, I was in the middle of getting our last one. So, Jesse, why don't you...
You want me to entertain the people?
Why don't you entertain the folks for a minute? you guys speak amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. Garbanzo beans are neither beans nor garbanzos. Go ahead. Wait, no, chickpeas. Chickpeas are neither chicks nor peas. Go ahead.
I personally don't really like garbanzo beans as like a topping. I'm not going to name this family member, but there was a particular family member... who will remain unnamed, and at some point while COVID was wrecking the universe, I was staying with said family member, and I swear everything had garbanzo beans on it, just everything.
That sounds great. It sounds
you
great
really think
asking me.
I don't know, it like I'm a big hummus guy, but garbanzo beans alone, I'm not feeling it.
All right,
I don't know.
All right.
Damon, how do you feel about garbanzo beans?
I can't say that I've ever had them, but my thoughts.
You've had hummus?
No, I've had hummus, but not garbanzo.
That's garbanzo beans.
Similar style. Gotcha. Beans, yeah. I will say though that Jesse is absolute electricity. That explanation, you give him a random topic, and he just immediately off the bat, just killed that.
That's why I like working with this guy, because he does all the heavy lifting around here, and then I just can sit here and pick winners.
Well, I've had some traumatic experiences with garbanzo.
Are we gonna get into those?
It's just every time I'm eating a salad over there, man. And I'm enjoying the salad, and then I get to the bottom, and there's garbanzo beans.
That's
there's always
best part.
Garbanzo beans.
I don't understand. Oh, man.
I will answer a question that was asked in the chat. Someone asked, Pedro, I think it was asked, when does Jordan Lawler get to the big leagues? We've talked about that on a couple of different occasions in the last few months. I think it's possible that Jordan Lawler is an Arizona Diamondback in September. It'd be pretty bold to see it happening any sooner than that. He's going to open the year in Double A. I think he has a lot to prove at Double A, given that he did play some games there last year. Didn't look so great. Did look really good in the fall league. But yeah, it's kind of a similar path as what Corbin Carroll followed last season, opening the year in Double A, getting up to Triple A if things go well, and then ultimately getting to the big leagues in late August. I could see Jordan Lawler following that path if things go well in the minors.
I completely agree. That's kind of the time frame that I think that we have determined for him. And I think that honestly at this point it's kind of fine if that doesn't end up happening, right? I mean, it's kind of like with Corbin Carroll this year, where we were very excited to see him, but if his debut had to hold off until next year, it wasn't the worst thing, or until 2023. I just think that experience, getting that little month out of the way where you get all of us windbags coming to your locker and bothering you about coming to the big leagues and what it's like.
It takes at least a month to just get used to you bothering people in
me,
the clubhouse.
Me specifically.
Yeah, just Derek in particular. So, yeah, we're glad that Corbin Carroll got that out of the way last year. He can just kind of ease his way into the big leagues now.
I introduced myself to Corbin Carroll when the Diamondbacks were doing one of their charity events during the holiday season. And he looked at me like I was crazy and said, yeah, I know you. And like, I don't get that from ball players. Ketel Marte has met me 672 times. He still introduces himself to me every single time. He's like, hey, mucho gusto, Ketel. I'm like, dude, come on, man. All right. I got some winners and we're going to announce them. We got four winners for four prize packages. And our first winner is Matt Dresser at Dresser 1995 on Twitter. So congratulations, Matt. Our next winner is Scott Berger of friend of mine. I love Scott. Scott's a great guy here in the Valley. Huge sports fan. So congratulations, Scott. And then our next two winners are Santino Bambino 3 on Twitter.
That's a heck of a
that's
heck
a good one.
Santino right
Bambino
there.
3. Yeah, that's a good one. And then at AZ Baby Backs with an X. So congratulations. If this is you, congrats. We'll be in contact with all the winners. But again, thank you to everybody for retweeting, entering the contest, being a listener, being a viewer, whatever category you qualify yourself as. We appreciate you
guys.
Are
we doing what we did last time where people have to like be in the chat? Like unless they're here.
No, I'm not doing that.
We're going to be so nice this time?
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Jesse, you know what Jesse said to me in a text message? He said, we already hit 5,000. Why are we giving stuff away? Listen to this monster. Like as if I didn't promise that before we were at 5,000 followers on Twitter. He's an absolute.
We have a responsibility to follow through on our promises. So,
I that's why I did so many Photoshops yesterday about AppNet, Jesse. I said every 10 retweets, I mean every 10 retweets. People were like, "You're still going?" Yes, I'm still going. When I say something, I mean it, goddammit.
I'm pretty sure if you look back at the number of retweets it has now, I think you're about six or seven Photoshops behind.
I know, but why do I have to do that? This is my life now? Do I have to just do this until the end of time? There's a lot of people on Twitter. What if I get a million retweets? I have to do that many goddamn Photoshops? I'm not having it. Oh, anyway.
To be fair, you were kind of out of, like, you'd kind of blown up the AppNet logo as much as humanly possible.
I thought it would be boring if we just made little increment changes.
Maybe if you just start back at the beginning and go slower time, then it could work.
Jesse's never seen Men in Black, so he doesn't understand how this story ended. So, at this point, we could move on to one of the aliens wearing Zach Gallen's jersey with a patch on it, and then the whole thing starts all over again. But, of course, I want to give a shout-out to our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You know, this is the week to download it. If you haven't done it already and you want to make that Super Bowl more fun, make sure to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Build yourself a Super Bowl parlay and win some money. Of course, we are riding with the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's what we're doing over here. Philadelphia people, I hate to tell you this, no good cheesesteaks here. I hope you like Chicago food. That's all I'm saying. Mexican food, Chicago food. If you enjoy that particular cuisine, then you should be all right in here. But don't go looking for a good cheesesteak. You're not going to find one. But I will say, Eagles, they're going to destroy the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm as positive about that as Keith Law was about Corbin Carroll hitting 25 home runs. And I have nothing to base that on.
That's pretty positive.
Anyway. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code PHNX. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code PHNX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. And you know what? I've already told you guys, I don't think it's going to happen. But grab the Game Time app. Tap in on Super Bowl Sunday. See what's available. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying tickets are going to be available, but what I'm saying is there's a chance that they might be available. And I don't like this guy. Espo's out here mocking me and my hand gestures. I don't like him at all. He's not a good friend at all. But anyway.
He's doing a really good job of that.
See, you say that, and now I like you less. But Jesse, of course, he raves about the Game Time app, and that's where he buys all of his tickets. He won't come to your show if you don't have tickets on the Game Time app. That's a fact. He most likely won't come to your show regardless, but he won't come to your show if you don't have tickets on there.
You've really portrayed me as quite a villain in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm still mad. I'm still very mad about the whole fucking patch idea was Jesse's idea. So he roped me into a lifetime of Photoshopping on our account. But you make sure to save up to 60% on tickets when you buy tickets last minute through the Game Time app. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description below. We hope you guys have a happy Friday. Thank you so much for stopping by. On behalf of Damon, Jesse, and myself, we always appreciate you being here.
You need to apologize to Tori Lavello before we go.
I'm not.
After what you did yesterday.
I refuse to apologize.
Okay.
To that,
all right. Saying.
But I will say this, that you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @cap_caveman with a K. Sean DePaz, who's under our table right now.
Sean DePaz is currently...
Hey, there he is.
I'm pretty sure Sean was untying my shoe just now.
He was tying them together, I think. He was doing one of those. I don't like that. See, we're trying to do a show, and this is the distractions we got to deal with. Jesse's at Jesse N. Friedman. I barely remembered that. Sean's at Sean DePaz. Fucking Totri's in here, too, for some fucking reason. But, of course, our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. All roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys, again, so much for being here. On behalf of all of these jabronis in here, I appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when the MLB holds a combine.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.